And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, there is a major issue that continues to plague public schools all across the United States, and that is the intrusion of activists within the public school system. This is a real problem. This is something that you have seen, I think, a huge increase in over the last couple of years are left-wing activists that have decided to take their message and take their agenda into the public schools. And it comes from a couple of different places. You, of course, have got outside groups that use the public school system as kind of their breeding ground for this level of activism. That is a problem in itself. You've got left-wing educators that use their position of authority, their position of power as an educator, as somebody that is employed by a county or by a state and uses their authority as an educator to push a political narrative, to push a political agenda on their students. And I would argue from any side, regardless of whether we're talking about liberal-leaning agendas or conservative-leaning agendas, having that kind of activism in the public school system is not a good thing. It's not. Now, of course, those on the left will not agree with that statement because it has been said, and I would agree with the statement, that the public school system is the largest indoctrination tool that Democrats have available. They have done a really good job at using the public school system as their petri dish for breeding the next generation, in many cases, of radical socialist, out-of-control Democrats. And we see this all over the board. This is not a uniquely North Carolina problem. This is not even a problem that is inherently to blue states. This is something that is happening across the board. A lot of it starts in higher education, where you've got individuals that are coming out of many four-year schools with a teaching degree. And they, of course, went to these far-left, liberal-leaning colleges. They come out as a good liberal and then, of course, get their starting job in a public school and begin pushing their agenda on young minds. And it's no surprise that the left, and I will give them credit for using the public school system so efficiently, it's no surprise that it's been so effective. Right? You're taking a trustworthy individual, which is a teacher, an educator, that a student spends 7+ months with throughout the year. They build a relationship. There is a trust that is gained from the students to their teacher, to the educator, and they are able to slowly sprinkle in some of them, of course, not all of them I'm talking about, but are able to start sprinkling in their agenda. And it is a very, very useful tool for those on the political left. And we've got another example today of outside left-wing activists bringing their agenda to the public school system. This has been floating around on social media over the last couple of days. Enough is enough. National school walkout scheduled for Friday, September the 5th. That's today at 12 p.m. local time by a group known as Students Demand Action. So you've got a national group that is talking about and is a branch of a gun control entity. The group is called the parent group of Students Demand Action is Every Town for Gun Safety, and they are pushing a school walkout all across the United States. Why are they pushing this so-called walkout? Well, they're doing it in response to the Annunciation Catholic Church shooting that happened in Minneapolis back on August the 27th, where I'll remind you once again that it was a radical left-wing trans individual who killed two young individuals, 8 and 10 years old, at a Catholic school in Minneapolis last week. So they are staging a walkout demanding lawmakers strengthen gun control laws, ban assault weapons, right? That's the constant go-to phrase and constant go-to word in all of this, all because of a radical, progressive, trans individual that shot up a Catholic church and killed two Catholic school kids last week. And so once again, you've got an outside entity, an outside, very left-wing entity that is pushing this agenda, pushing this narrative. And I've got a link to the, or I've got a page here from this group, Students Demand Action. Here's their website. This is the Students Demand Action Walkout Activation Toolkit. Okay, let's go through this and see what's going on here. What? Nationwide student walkout in response to the Annunciation Catholic school shooting in Minneapolis, Minnesota on Friday, September 12th at noon, 12 p.m. local time. No student should have to hide in their church pews or their classrooms wondering if their classmate, friends, and teachers will walk out alive. We should not have to be afraid of gun violence in our schools, places of worship, or whether a bullet will shatter our futures and fracture our communities, reads the website. We're sick and tired of inaction from our elected officials to protect our lives and our ability to actually feel safe in the classrooms and communities. Firearms are already the leading cause of death for children, teens ages 1 to 19, and college-aged people in the United States. When will enough be enough for our legislators? Join us in walking out of the class on Friday, September the 5th at 12 p.m. to show our legislators that we will refuse to let them throw our futures away, that we need them to actually take action to protect our lives. We demand that the country reverse its current course and pass an assault weapon ban once and for all. And so I bring up that this is being pushed by left-wing activists. And this is literally on the website of the group that is demanding students walk out. And of course, educators, all of the left-wing progressives that flourish through the public school system. This is the group. This is directly reading verbatim from their website as to what they are trying to do, what they are pushing in the classroom. And they've got links to all of their banners. They've got things to encourage students to make signs saying, protect children, not guns. I should be worrying about my SATs, not my life. Don't shoot. Let this be the last mass shooting generation. So on and so forth. All progressive dog whistles in an attempt to affect a sweeping gun control here in the United States. And it goes on and on and on. Here's all of the crowd calls and responses. We won't be defeated. There's a planning and safety checklist. Promote us on social media. Recruit volunteers. Wear orange. Leave the class slightly early to ensure things are prepped. Speak passionately and celebrate that you made an impact. So we are encouraging students to miss school. I mean, school in many places has just started, like it's, you know, a week or two old. And so you've got a left-wing national group that is funded by left-wing national donors that is pushing public school students and teachers to disrupt their classmates who are not interested in this ridiculous walkout. Those students now have to deal with the disruption of radical progressives in the public school system that are going to walk out of the classroom later on today, or at least this group is encouraging them to walk out of the classroom later today. This is why activism in the public school system is such a problem. And fortunately for families across the United States, particularly those in North Carolina, though they now have alternatives, and we have seen public school enrollment continue to dip. We have seen parents in droves, tens of thousands of them, pull their kids out of the public school system, go to private schools through the Opportunity Scholarship Program. go towards public charter schools that are not engaged in taking place in these ridiculous left-wing activist pushes. And so the end result is there are less students in the public school system and less money, which then causes Democrats to completely freak out and talk about how we need to fund public schools at a higher level. We need more money for public schools. Let me break this down for you. The way that public school funding works in the majority of states, but I would claim that I know the most about it and I'm an expert on how it's funded here in North Carolina. It is funded at what is called the ADM. And you as a public school entity are funded based on how many students you have enrolled. So as your student population increases, you get more money per pupil. It is called the per pupil funding model. You get more money from the state of North Carolina if you have more students. Makes a lot of sense, right? The more people, and in this case, more children that are your responsibility to educate, you need more teachers, you need more support staff, you need all of the things associated with educating children, so you get more money from the state. Now, on the flip side of that, when you lose students, when individuals decide to pull their kids out of public school and send them to a charter school, send them to a private school, or homeschool them, well, the reverse is also true. The state gives you less money because you have less children that are your responsibility. And so this is a real political dichotomy for those on the left because they want to push their left-wing agenda. They want to push their left-wing narrative into the public school system. Parents say, to hell with this. I am not going to send my kid to a public school where they're going to be indoctrinated into radical progressive liberal beliefs. So they pull their kids out of school because of what the Democrats and what these progressives are doing, only for those same individuals to be completely dismayed when their public school has less money available. Folks, there's a clear correlation here. When there are less students, you get less money. When you push a political agenda, when you push a political narrative into the classroom, parents say enough and they pull their kids out of the public school system. This is once again a making of those on the left. They have created this entire situation and then you and I have the pleasure of listening to them constantly groan and complain about how there's not enough money for public schools. Meanwhile, the agendas that they're pushing are why so many parents are leaving. And we'll get into, I've got, of course, numbers and data to back this up. Contrary to those on the left, there is a problem ongoing with public schools. There is in states all across the country declines in enrollment, and there's obviously a very clear reason for that. The superintendent of the New Hanover County Public School System, Dr. Christopher Barnes, sent, I think this email was sent to parents. I'm not immediately clear. I found it on social media, but this is a note that he sent out to parents within the public school system earlier this week, and it reads as follows: Dear NHCS families, this past weekend, information began to circulate regarding a nationwide student walkout planned at noon this Friday, September the 5th. This walkout is designed to highlight concerns about gun violence and school safety. As always, our top priority is the safety, well-being, and dignity of every student. We recognize that our students have a vested interest in this subject and are often passionate about issues that matter to them and may wish to express their voices. While we want to support students, we also must ensure that teaching and learning continues in a safe and orderly environment. And oh, of course, that is not the kind of message that the progressive radical left wants to see from the superintendent of the New Hanover County school system. Right. So because you've got a couple of students that are politically engaged and politically are acting as activists, your student, your child that may happen to be in the same class with them has to deal with the disruption of them staging and taking part in this walkout. Now, I would argue that that is not an equitable thing, ladies and gentlemen, right? We love talking about equity. We love this term. So I'm trying to construct the balancing act here of how it is equitable to disrupt students who are trying to learn, trying to get an education. So some 14-year-old so-called social justice warrior can put on an orange shirt and run outside their school and scream about gun control. I'm trying to decipher how that is helpful for education. And we're always told that it's got to be, and the focus needs to be on education, which of course I agree with and all of you agree with as well. Yet we continually see these kinds of pushes into the public school that have nothing to do with education. Nothing at all. And of course, that is the trend that is pushed by those on the left. So let's continue through Dr. Barnes's letter here. What this means for students. Students are permitted and encouraged to share their views. However, this cannot disrupt instruction or create safety concerns. Students may not be disciplined for their for the content of their views. Schools may, however, respond if participation interferes with learning, violates attendance rules, or creates an unsafe situation. Our attendance policy, which is policy 4400 in the New Hanover County Schools Student Handbook, reminds us that class participation is essential to student success. Skipping class, leaving campus without permission, or being in unauthorized areas remains prohibited. While it is our expectation that students remain in class in their designated areas, I have also asked each principal to establish a safe location in each building for students. We will have administrators, counselors, and social workers available for students as needed, who will then be allowed to return to class without penalty. Students who leave class and disrupt the educational environment, or if they leave the school premise, they will be subject to the same disciplinary procedures already laid out in the student handbook. I share this with you so that families are aware of how we will approach these situations should they arise. Thank you for your continued partnership in supporting both the safety and success of our students. Together, we can ensure our schools remain caring, respectful, and focused on learning. With gratitude, Dr. Charles Barnes, Superintendent, New Hanover County Public Schools. I think a great response here from Superintendent Dr. Barnes. A really solid response from him. And here's the point. Students are allowed to have an opinion. Now, I'll note that you don't have so-called First Amendment rights when you're in a public school, right? You are a student in class. This is not some sort of anarchy situation. You're not allowed to yell and scream and do whatever you want on the on school premise. That's not how this works. Now, you're allowed to have an opinion. You're an individual. But once again, the second that your opinion, the second that your actions start interfering with other students and their ability to learn, the second that your opinion interferes with educators and their ability to, oh, I don't know, do their job, the second that that begins to happen, we have a major problem. And as I pointed out, this is a huge issue for the progressive left to deal with because they are always the ones screaming about equity and equality and everybody deserves to learn, so on and so forth, yet they are actively encouraging students and teachers to walk out of classrooms today at noon. And I think it was very well said by the superintendent that if you decide that you're going to disrupt class, if you decide that you're going to walk out of the building in the middle of the day, which you're, here's the reality, folks, isn't you're not permitted to do, even though we live in America and even though we live in a free society, you're not allowed to just walk out of the school anytime that you damn well please. If you're going to do that, you are going to face disciplinary actions. Got some comments coming in on our live streams this morning on Rumble. Says comment on Rumble says, suspend anyone who walks out. I think that would be a very realistic response and approach to this. Makes total sense to me. Regardless of whether you are a bleeding heart liberal or not, if you decide to walk out of the school in the middle of the day, you're likely to deal with some consequences. you're likely to have to deal with some disciplinary actions because you as a student do not have the right to do that. The school is responsible for your safety throughout the day. And so when you decide that you're going to go stand on the street corner with an orange shirt screaming about gun control and how awful and terrible Donald Trump is, you are now putting the school system at risk. Another comment coming in on our Facebook live stream this morning says, I find it incredibly interesting that there is no actual leadership listed on their website. There are just students. So there is no way this organization, there's no way this can be organized nor this well funded. Well, you know, exactly the case, right? All of these left-wing groups, they're all intertwined. And it's why when you look, and I'm glad you brought that up, I had that on my list, there's nothing indicating who is behind this except for the group that is responsible for it, the parent organization, which is Every Town for Gun Safety. That is the entity, the group that is responsible for this student day of action or student demand action day. This is the group that is responsible for putting this thing together. And you and I went through and scrolled through their website last night talking about, you know, exposing the NRA. The Every Town Support Fund educates the public on the NRA scandals and alleged corruption. So this is nothing more than an anti-gun. This is nothing more than an anti-gun group. They, of course, they've got a DEI statement on their website. Every Town for Gun Safety is a stronger organization due to the growing diversity of its volunteers and staff. Our namesake recognizes that gun violence impacts a wide landscape of people, communities, and experiences that we know intersect with the structures of oppression. Therefore, our understanding of and solutions to gun violence that occurs in every part of the country must fully embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that when we say Every Town, we mean it. Diversity is a concept including but not limited to gender, gender identity, race, ethnic origin, national origin, religion, sexual orientation, age, and disability. While diversity makes us unique, equality in our commitment to combating gun violence, particularly in underrepresented communities and protected classes that are disproportionately impacted by gun violence, is key to furthering our mission of reducing gun violence in America. So if you had any question that this group was not a left-wing hack organization, I hope that that clears it up for you. I hope that their DEI statement was is enough and was enough for you to wrap your head around the concept of who is responsible for this. Is there an issue with violence in public schools? Is there an issue with potential school safety and more prominently looking at the horrific situation last week of school security? The answer is unequivocally yes. No question about it. And so then the question becomes, what is the solution to the problem? Those on the progressive left want to destroy the United States Constitution and strip away firearms from law-abiding citizens. They believe that that is the solution to their problem. Many folks on the right, myself included, believe that the solution to the problem is ramping up protection on soft targets. And unfortunately, schools, many of them, would fall under the category of soft targets. Schools, places of worship, stores, those places are soft targets where individuals are not, you don't have people that are armed in many cases when you look at a church or a school. Now, fortunately, some over the last couple of years have decided that it is worth the investment, and I think rightfully so, to invest in private security, to invest in armed guards and so on and so forth. In public schools, at least across the vast majority of North Carolina, you have SROs or school resource officers. Those individuals are sworn law enforcement in the case of New Hanover County schools. They are members of the New Hanover County Sheriff's Department. They are sworn law enforcement agencies, and they have the responsibility as a school resource officer to be on campus and to provide some first level of defense, God forbid some, radical trans leftist decides to show up to school with a gun and try and mow down children, right? So there, fortunately, in the public school system, we've started to see this increase in SROs. This is a challenging issue for private schools to deal with. Many of them do not have the funding available to hire full-time security at a, I'll note, a very expensive cost, especially if they've got more than one campus or more than one building under their direction. It's a tough thing to do. And so I'll make the argument this morning that the solution to what you've the situation in Minneapolis last week is we've got to protect soft targets. I mean, this is nothing new. You can go all the way back to the 90s and the Columbine shooting. It's soft targets need to be protected, especially when we're talking about young children. And so this idea, the concept that the solution here is to ban firearms, and that will, of course, stop violence in schools. It may stop people shooting up schools, but it won't stop deranged, radical individuals like the trans shooter in Minneapolis last week from doing something else, creating a homegrown explosive, using some sort of knife or other sort of sharp object as a weapon. So you can, and you don't need any better example of this than to look at what's going on in so many European countries, where the vast majority of firearms are outlawed. In some cases, you don't even have police that are walking around with guns. And what do you still have taking place? You've got people using buses and trucks and vans, renting big box trucks, driving them through crowds. You've got individuals on subway trains and other sorts of public transit with machetes and other knives, hacking and slashing people, slitting their throats in public. I mean, so this idea that, we just need to ban guns and all of a sudden violence stops is not based in any sort of fact or reality. And if you actually looked at violence in places across the world where they do not have the Constitution, where they do not have the constitutional right to bear arms as a law-abiding citizen, violence still exists, ladies and gentlemen. There are still terrible, awful, deranged individuals that will do anything in their power to inflict chaos, harm, and in many cases, death and destruction upon individuals. It exists all over the world. So if you want to talk about protecting schools, let's talk about soft targets. Let's talk about increasing armed security, armed guards, law enforcement in public schools through SROs. Let's talk about that element and that aspect of it. Because we know, and in the comments being pointed out in our Rumble chat this morning, evil exists in this world. There's no question about it. And if you are of the mindset, and I think many on the left are, that you can legislate out evil, you are unfortunately sadly mistaken. You cannot legislate out evil, terrible, demonic, awful, horrific people. You can't. Now, you can try and do everything in your power to curtail their ability to do this or to do that here across the United States. If you want to purchase a gun, you've got to go through a federal background check. You've got to go through the NICS system, NIX system, or NI, I don't exactly remember how it's spelled, but the federal background check system, right? The left is always talking about how you can just randomly walk into a Walmart or a Sportsman's Warehouse and walk out with an assault rifle 15 and commit mass atrocity. Well, if you're a criminal, you can't do that. But let's take a look a little bit more at gun control, right? Because this is the push. This is what Students for Demanding Action, this is what this entity is doing today. They are talking about gun control. Yet I don't see or hear any discussion from those on the progressive left in inner cities that have an incredible amount of gun violence, all at the hands of perpetrators who are convicted felons that have access to firearms. I don't hear any discussion about that. Let's look at a city like Chicago. We've been talking about that a lot over the last couple of weeks. Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws and regulations anywhere in the United States of America. It is incredibly hard to get a concealed carry, to get some, to get a gun permit in the city of Chicago and in more greater the state of Illinois. Yet here are the numbers as it stands right now. To the date, year to date, September the 5th, there have been 1,377 people shot in the city of Chicago. Many of those coming at the hands of repeat offender, violent criminals, felons that cannot legally own or possess a firearm. So my question to you is very simple. If a gangbanger, convicted felon, can get out of prison, get on the street, and get access to a gun, which they do, if they can do that, what is going to stop a deranged, evil person from doing the exact same thing? And the answer is very clear. It won't. Folks, we already have gun control. Look at places like New York City. Look at cities like Chicago or LA or San Francisco, which have ridiculously overburdensome regulations for law-abiding citizens to get firearms. Guess what happens in every single one of those cities? You've got dangerous, repeat offender, convicted felons that are roaming the streets with illegal firearms. And so I understand that for some, this comes from a place of we need to protect schools. And I get that. I hear that. I'm on the same page with you. But you talk about actually making a change. You talk about actually making an impact or making a difference. I just don't see how this does it. I can't wrap my head around it. I've seen no data, no evidence that backs up the fact that banning guns or gun control is going to solve said problem. I just don't see it. Because you can look at any sort of crime statistics. You can look at any sort of crime stories across the country. It doesn't change. Here's a story from Wilmington yesterday. A 20-year-old man is accused of stealing a firearm from a gun shop in Wilmington. According to WPD, detectives from the gun crime unit were made aware of a larceny that took place at Tiller and Laner Guns. When detectives arrived on the scene, surveillance footage from the business captured the suspect, Tyshawn Pringle, and critical intelligence from the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office further supported the investigation. With the help from the mobile field unit and others, the individual, Pringle, was at an apartment in the 3000 block of Winshire Boulevard in Wilmington. WPD notes that he was taken into custody without incident. When detectives searched his residence, they found ammunition, pistol magazines, and drug paraphernalia. He's been charged with felony carrying a concealed weapon and larceny of a firearm. And I would guess as this story rolls out, we don't have the details as of yet, but I would suspect that we'll see what we see with so many other stories, even here locally with crime, which is you've got an individual who is a convicted felon who is getting access to a firearm. Whether that be stealing it from a gun store, whether that be walking around a neighborhood and pulling door handles and finding, you know, gun owners who are incredibly stupid to leave their firearms in their cars, especially unlocked, they're getting access to firearms. Because the reality is very simple, folks. The rule of law only matters to those that are willing to follow it. And I'm going to step out on a limb this morning and say individuals that want to shoot up a school and commit one of the most atrocious acts that you can in society, they're not interested in following the law. They're already breaking the law by murdering people. So what makes you think they are all of a sudden going to turn into law-abiding citizens with your so-called gun control platform? They're criminals. They want to commit crime. And in fact, they do commit crime. And so there is a huge problem with activism in the public school system. It's not a surprise. It's not a shock. And it is very interesting to see how parents are pulling their children out of the public school system. I've got some pretty astonishing numbers, not only here in North Carolina, but nationwide, as they, the parents and guardians, those responsible, are finding themselves so fed up with some of the left-wing propaganda, these kinds of days of action, these kinds of protests that are taking place in public schools across the United States. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes on the Nick Craig Show. Before we continue this morning, I'd like to thank our great advertisers that make this thing possible each and every weekday morning, including the law group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group. Since 2003, Melissa Gott and her team of experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, ladies and gentlemen. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088. Or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. I use the Law Group now going back over 5 years ago as I went through the process of purchasing my home. An incredible experience with the good folks over at the Law Group. Visit them online, lawgroupnc.com, or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We'll continue the discussion on public school activism and how parents and families are deciding they've had enough of the public school system. Plus, we'll get into some more of your comments as well as the Nick Craig Show rolls on this Friday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, available 24/7 on your own time, wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on all of our social media platforms. Taking a look at your weekend forecast, looks to be a pretty nice one across the Cape Fear region. Temperatures today will be close to 90 degrees, hot and humidity returning to the area today. Same thing Saturday and Sunday, 90 degrees on Sunday. Little bit of a chance of rain, 40% highs at 87, and a little bit of a cool down thanks to a cold front that's coming in. So those temperatures will be back in the lower and middle 80s through the early part of next week. That is your forecast, courtesy of WECT News, as we head into this first full weekend in the month of September. So back to our topic at hand this morning. We're talking about activism in public schools, talking about this protest that is scheduled today, this Enough is Enough national school walkout in which left-wing activist group Students Demand Action are encouraging students to disrupt their peers, disrupt their learning time, disrupt their classrooms by walking out of school and demanding gun control. That's scheduled to take place at noon today. And so I started looking into the numbers on public school enrollment, and it was pretty shocking. So I pulled this chart. This is from the National Center for Education Statistics, which is part of the Department of Education. So not by any stretch of the imagination, a right-wing group at all. And so this chart shows student enrollment between fall of 2019 and fall of 2023. And the numbers are astounding. When you look at states across the country that have seen major, major declines in public school enrollment. All of the brown that you see on your color key there, those are all states that have had their public school enrollments decline by 2% or more. And that is the overwhelming majority of the country. And if you look at places that have seen any sort of increase in enrollment, there's only four on the list: Delaware, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Idaho. Those are the only four states, and the District of Columbia. Those are the only four or five areas that have seen any sort of increase in enrollment over the last couple of years. This is, again, 2019 to 2023, according to the federal government. And so you look at these numbers, you see all of these states, places like New York down almost 6%, California 5.2, Oregon 6.2. Look over at places on the southeast. North Carolina down about a full percentage point. South Carolina, 0.9%. Georgia, 1.1%. Virginia, 2.9%. Mass folks and mass families leaving the public school system. And New Hanover County is not alone in this. I caught a Wilmington Star News article back from a couple of years ago. This was written back in June of 2023, and it shows New Hanover County's public school enrollment over a period of time. It looks at a period between the 2012 school year and the 2023 school year, and the numbers, well, they don't look great. For a period of time, we saw a peak high in the 2016-2017 school year with more than 26,287 students officially enrolled within the New Hanover County public school system. And immediately after COVID-19, we saw that number dip down to 24,721 students. So you've seen the exodus of more than, you know, just looking at these numbers, 1,500 students within the public school system. And you might say, well, that's, you know, that's not a huge amount. But when you are a district that is being funded, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, when you are a school district, which all public school districts across the North Carolina are funded at that per pupil model, when you lose 1,500 students in just the span of a couple of years, you are looking at major decreases in funding. And so you constantly have to listen to those on the progressive left. I hear it at every freaking Board of Education meeting that I watch, which is almost all of them, talking about how we need more funding for schools. We need more money. We need more money. But you're not going to get more money when you've lost almost 1,500 students in the span of 4 or 5 years. You're not. Why would you need more money? Your job in the school system's job is to educate less than 1,000 students previous to years prior. You're not going to have more money. You're not going to have more resources available. You have students leaving the district. Now, some of that is generally you've got people that just maybe are moving out of the area. Sure. But New Hanover County is a unique a kind of thing to look at because it is an area that is seeing massive growth. New Hanover County is a place that is seeing some of the fastest growth anywhere in the United States. Everybody wants to be here. We have seen so many folks move to New Hanover County over the last 10 or 15 years, myself included. And so an area that is seeing so much growth in terms of people moving in, how is it that the school district has lost, at least looking between 2016 and 2021, how has the school district lost more than 1,500 kids? That is a major blow. Now, looking at some additional data from DPI, the Department of Public Instruction here on North Carolina, in the state of North Carolina, which cultivates some of this data and makes it available, you're seeing the same trend now. In the 2023-2024 school year, you saw the enrollment under 25,000. So once again, back to the 24,000 range. And of course, we don't have any of the data for the most recent school year as that hasn't been calculated as of yet, but there's absolutely been a dip. And I would contend and I would argue that a significant portion of that is parents being fed up with what they saw in the classroom, virtual classroom, back during COVID-19. So many parents and so many families for the first time got a real bird's eye view as to what was going on in their children's classrooms. They got a real firsthand look as to what their children were being taught. And so many of them were completely mortified with what was going on. This does not describe every classroom. And I would say this does not even describe the majority of classrooms across the New Hanover County public school system. But there are classrooms, there are teachers that are completely invested in pushing a far left liberal agenda and liberal narrative in their classrooms, in your children's classrooms across North Carolina. And so let's look at some more data to back this up. Here's another study. This is out from April of last year over at NBC News. The headline there: public school enrollment falling nationwide, data shows. More and more parents are opting Americans' children out of public school, reads the article from NBC News. The share of children ages 5 to 17 enrolled in public schools fell by almost 4 percentage points between 2012 and 2022, NBC News analysis of Census Bureau data found, even as the overall population grew. So the data looked like this. In 2012, you had 90.7% of children across the United States enrolled in public education. 90.7%. In 2022, according to data from the Census Bureau, that number had dipped to 87%, a full 4 percentage point decrease compared to where that was just a couple of years prior. So this is not, again, a change that is just happening in North Carolina. It's all over the country. I mean, looking at North Carolina statistics, again, 2012 to 2022, you're looking at an almost over a 5.5% decrease in those attending public schools. Now, reading from the NBC News article, during the same period, the share of 5 to 17-year-olds enrolled in private schools increased by 2 percentage points, according to the Census Bureau data. Charter schools, which are also public schools, charter schools saw a similar increase, according to the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools, a nonprofit group dedicated to advancing charter schools. So you have to ask yourself, why is it that parents and families are leaving the public school system at pretty large clips? A 4% decrease when you're talking about tens of millions of children across the country, that is a massive shift. I will argue that a lot of it has to do with the ideology, that a lot of it has to do with what is being taught in their children's classrooms. Parents and families do not want their children, they do not ship their children off to school for 7 or 8 months out of the year to be indoctrinated into a liberal, left-wing, left-leaning ideology. They don't. They're not interested in that. They want their kids to go to school. They want them to learn how to read, write, speak, do math, and learn basic skills that the public education system should be responsible for. They don't want their children coming home talking about how great Karl Marx is and how great socialism and communism would be only if it was actually tried again and actually played out, right? And that's always the line from those on the left. Well, you know, actual socialism and communism haven't actually been tried in their truest forms. So we could definitely try it again. There's not dozens of countries that just in even modern history that have shown that socialism and communism don't work. But no, we need to try it again. Karl Marx is a great dude. Parents don't want to have to listen to that crap when their kids come home from public school. They want their children to be able to read, write, and do math. And the numbers also would show that that is a huge problem as well, as school standardized testing scores and other sorts of assessments for reading, math, and writing, so on and so forth. Those numbers are continually down. Since COVID-19, they have not recovered. When the same folks responsible for your children's education thought it was a good idea to send them home and learn on Zoom, put a 7-year-old in front of a laptop for a year and assume that they're going to be able to learn, all because, ooh, scary COVID-19 is going to kill everybody. Another huge failure of the public school system. Now, fortunately for parents in North Carolina, well, they've got a huge opportunity and over the last couple of years, growing opportunities to find an alternative education for their child. Back a couple of years ago, the North Carolina General Assembly passed the Opportunity Scholarship Program, also known as the OSP, or the acronym for it is the OSP, the Opportunity Scholarship Program. Lawmakers made that available to every family across the state of North Carolina in 2023. And listen to this data. This goes to really show you how many parents and how many families are just begging to get out of the public school system. The program grew from 32,549 students during the 23-24 school year to over 80,325 students in the 24-25 school year. That was last school year. So you saw this program more than double in its amount of families taking access or taking the availability to use it in the span of one school year. One, just one school year, you saw more than 47,000 additional students being enrolled in the Opportunity Scholarship Program. And of course, the left doesn't like that either, right? Because once you pull your kids out of the public school, not only do the public schools lose money, but then they have lost their indoctrination tool. They have lost their ability to use government-run public schools to affect political opinions and ideologies on your kids. And when you send them to a private school, when you, the parent, is in charge, and you, the parent, can make decisions about where your child goes, they lose control. And so this is a major issue that the Democrat Party has to deal with. Constantly complaining about school funding, constantly groaning and complaining about how there's not enough money available, yet they completely gloss over the fact that parents and families and students are leaving the public school system. It is another, to me, it's another situation of Democrats being incapable of looking in the mirror, looking at their own reflection and seeing the things that they do, the things that they push for, have consequences. And when I talk about activism in the public school system, I talk about some of the ridiculous things that go on. This is from a school board meeting that took place earlier this week. This group called New Hanover County Education Justice. They wear purple shirts at every single school board meeting. This is how one of the speakers wearing their shirt spoke to the school board. And this is the kind of things that these groups are bringing into our public education system. Take a listen to this.
Tonight, I'm here to thank Pat Bradford. Pat, thank you for rudely interrupting me last month because it prompted me. No. Let me say two more sentences.
Because it prompted. Who the hell does this lady think she is? No. Let me say two more sentences. That's not how this works at all. You are a speaker who has been given the opportunity to speak at a school board meeting. You are not the arbiter of how the rules are written. You are not the arbiter of whether you are allowed to speak or not. You are speaking in front of a board, and that board has the ability to listen to your comments if you can keep them in line. But again, this is how activists act. This is how activists portray themselves in public.
Tonight, I'm here to thank Pat Bradford. Pat, thank you for rudely interrupting me last month because it prompted me. No. Let me say two more sentences.
Because I'm going to ask you to maintain what I explained earlier, so please direct it to me.
So your rules state speakers can offer comments and criticism directed at substantive ideas, actions, or procedures of the board and individual board members. It is my First Amendment right, and I can do it. My First Amendment right allows me to do it.
Just keep your voice, your volume down, please.
So thank you, because rereading your rules confirmed that I followed them, and speakers may call you by name and offer criticism. Also, the rules go on to say that speakers should refrain from personal attacks. However, because hate speech is protected and is allowed at these meetings, so are personal attacks, as long as they are not threatening or disruptive. Which means, if I choose to say that Pat or any other board member are dumb as rocks, my speech is protected. And unless I incite violence or make threats, you cannot silence me. So please think again about disrupting me, because speech that you do not like is protected and allowed. Short of making threats or inciting violence, you must allow me to criticize your performance as a board member. Pat, I also want to thank you for your transparency.
Ma'am, I'm going to ask you to direct it to me, please.
Your policy allows me to direct it to individuals.
So this is what when I talk about activism, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You've got this lady who goes to every single school board meeting and makes a complete and total ass of herself consistently. Just completely makes a fool of herself constantly. These are the kinds of activists and the kind of activist groups, including New Hanover County Education Justice, that are in our school system, that are pushing their out of control, left wing, progressive narrative. New Hanover County Education Justice is nothing more than a group that hates Republicans and pushes radical progressive liberal ideologies. That's it. That's the case. You don't, it's not just my opinion on it. Watch a school board meeting. Watch some of the commentary. You've got this lady standing up here being told, you have to abide by the rules that we set as the board because we as the board set the rules. But no, that's not good enough for her. We don't like your rules. And of course, typical with the left, typical with liberals, when they don't like the rules, they say, well, the hell with them. We're going to change them. We don't want to play by your rules. That's not how this works. The school board was elected by residents of New Hanover County. Residents of New Hanover County have given Republicans a 5-2 Republican to Democrat majority on the board. Those are the individuals that are in charge of the school board. I get that you don't like it. I get that you wish Democrats were back in control so that we could spend more money than we're taking in and completely drain our savings account and shut down schools just like the Democrats did during COVID. I know that's what you want, but that's not what the citizens of New Hanover County want. So they've elected Republicans to serve on the school board. They've elected Republicans to make decisions on how the school system runs. And because the left doesn't like that, they show up to every freaking Board of Education meeting and groan on about the same crap every single time. And when they're told, hey, we're not going to allow you to call a board member a dumb as a box of rocks, you need to suspend your speech and you need to direct your comments towards the chair of the board, who's Melissa Mason, we're told by this lunatic that, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm allowed to do this. I'm allowed to do whatever I want, right? Because that's how the progressives act. That's how the left acts. They don't like the rules. Well, to hell with the rules. We're just going to do whatever we want because we're superior. We're the ones that know all of the truth and all of the fact. So our opinion is the only one that matters. Regardless of what your rules state, regardless of what you think, our opinion, our voice is more empowered and more important than yours. And so after this comment, the board went down a 15-minute rabbit trail of whether these comments are allowed. This individual, this speaker, continually cut off members on, continually was interjecting herself in commentary between the board and their attorney, only to be told that her comments were done because she could no longer stay within the bounds of what she was told she could not do. And then, of course, walked off the podium and said, you need to resign. You need to resign because I'm a Democrat and I don't like Republicans. These are the same individuals that are talking about how Republicans just need to, they need to be better. They need to set an example for our children. Right? It's these damn awful, terrible Republicans that are setting such a bad example, allowing hate speech in our classrooms, hate speech in our schools. What kind of example does this set? Giving the middle finger to rules? Acting like a complete and total jackass? What kind of example does that set? You're told that the comments that you're making are not allowed under rules of the board, which again, are set by the board. You're told that it's not allowed, and you decide to do it anyway. Let's talk about the example that sets. No, of course not. We wouldn't want to talk about that at all. Because again, anything that the left does, they are empowered to do so. To hell with whatever rules, to hell with whatever policies or things that are in place, they believe that they are superior. They believe that everything that they say is gospel, and that everybody else just needs to get out of the way. And so, if Democrats want to continue down this road, I say have at it. Because the end result is going to be we will continue to see massive enrollment declines within the public school system, which I'm all for. I am all for that taking place. I'm a product of public schools. I don't hate public schools at all. But when parents are deciding to act with their wallets, act with their feet, and pull their kids out of the public school system in droves, maybe that should be a little bit of a wake-up call that the things that are being done aren't working. When parents are looking for an alternative for their children's education, maybe that's not working. Maybe they don't want their children being disrupted by left-wing activists who are told by left-wing groups to walk out of class today at noon. Maybe a little bit of self-reflection would help those on the political left. I don't know. That's just my idea. I guess take it or leave it. So we'll see what happens with this today. I'm sure some cities across the country, there'll be this mass exodus of 14 and 15 year olds screaming about gun control. Maybe I'm curious of what will happen here in New Hanover County. We'll track that throughout the weekend and provide any additional coverage and details as it is relevant on our social media platforms. You can follow me over on X at Nicholas M. Craig, and you can also like the Nick Craig Show on Facebook, where the show does stream live every morning. Anything breaking there will keep you up to date. Do want to touch on this real quick before we get out of here for the week. There is an area and a disturbance that is being watched by the National Hurricane Center out of Miami, Florida. As it stands right now, this area known as Invest 91 has got a 60% chance of development over the next 48 hours, 90% over the next 7 days as it treks towards the Lesser Antilles. This is definitely going to be something to watch. Modeling has been all over the place over the last couple of days, many showing it out to sea, some showing it impacting the east coast of the United States. This is still very, very far away. We'd be looking at a potential impact 2 weeks from now. So no reason to panic. You don't need to go to Walmart and stock up on toilet paper or water or anything right now. But especially as we get through the weekend, something to keep an eye on. As soon as this gets more organized and gets a name, we'll start tracking it daily, especially if it looks like it's going to be having an impact here on southeastern North Carolina. So that is the latest that we are tracking as the peak of the Atlantic hurricane season is September 15th and 16th historically. So that's coming up here pretty soon. We'll keep an eye on the details right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, it's been a busy week. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening after the fact, don't forget you can join the show live weekday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. You can comment, get some great comments in on our live chats this morning. Appreciate all of those. And of course, if that doesn't work for you, you can listen to any portion of the show, re-listen after the fact by visiting and checking out the Nick Craig Show podcast in your favorite podcast app. Well, that's going to do it for a Friday edition. Thanks to Melissa Gott and the great folks over at The Law Group for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for another week of The Nick Craig Show. We're back with you Monday morning live, 7 a.m. and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend.